Welcome to the Gorfine, Schiller, and Garden podcast series. In part two of this two-part series, Scott Rodgeville, an officer with Gorfine, Schiller, and Garden, is speaking with Matt Cellini, a partner and senior financial advisor with Greenspring Advisors, about the value that various service providers offer when making a successful retirement plan and much more. And with that, we'll hand it over to Scott again.
For our next discussion point, which really talks about some of the other service providers that are out there. You briefly talked about record keepers and attorneys, but there are a number of different folks that go into a successful employee benefit plan and what makes up that team. So I was hoping that maybe you could give us some ideas of some of the types of service providers are out there and what makes them important for an effective retirement plan team and just some of those roles, such as the record keeper, interim auditor, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm happy to touch on that. You know, the retirement plan landscape has evolved pretty quickly over the last 5 to 10 years, and especially from a service provider perspective. You know, if you go back 10, 12 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, retirement plan administration looked very different than it does today. And part of that is that technology has evolved, the role of the vendors has evolved, and I'm going to hit on a couple of those topics. But essentially, to run a successful retirement plan, you need a great committee. And we feel that a good committee starts with a great process. And I hit on that process and what that looks like. And, you know, it's important to have an advisor that helps you run that process. So from the committee perspective, kind of funneling that down, you need a record keeper and or an administrator. It used to be that plans were generally unbundled and you would have the record keeper and a third party administrator. The record keeper was responsible for websites that participants could go to, statements, and actually taking the money and investing it through payroll and employer contributions. And then the administrator or TPA would handle things like non-discrimination testing, 5500 prep, et cetera, and audit support. What we found is that many more clients are going bundled now. The record keepers that are out there are able to offer one solution where they do the record keeping. They do all the administrative work, so the website, the participant statements, plan testing, 5500 prep, you know, audit support. And we feel that's the way to go. There are times where a third-party administrator makes sense if the company has a unique plan design that doesn't necessarily fit into the box of a volume submitter type document. But in most cases, a bundled provider makes sense, and it helps cut down on cost and keeps the information under one roof. You mentioned auditors, and you know, one of the things that we enjoy working with Gorfine Schiller is that you all specialize in benefit plan audits. One of the first questions that we ask when we start off with a new client is, who is your auditor? There's been an increasing amount of scrutiny on that function, so that we recommend that any client that has an audit requirement, which is generally over 100 participants in the plan, that they work with a specialist audit firm, not just a firm that audits one or two plans. And we're happy to go out and run that search for our clients, but it is an important role because that function is ultimately the backstop that hopefully catches any errors or mistakes that are occurring in the plan.
That's great. Would I be correct in assuming that the same general rule applies to attorneys in terms of selecting counsel related to ERISA plans? If there are specialists, but and you should be careful who you select?
Absolutely. You want to make sure that the firm you're working with has a specialist team that focuses just on ERISA. You wouldn't want to get a real estate or a family law attorney working on your retirement plan. ERISA attorneys focus solely on plans that are generally governed by ERISA. So the 401ks, 403bs, pension plans of the world, they know it in and out. And again, there's a number of great firms here in this market. And we will make, you know, we'll go out and run searches for our clients for them as well if we feel they're not positioned with a specialist firm, because ultimately that can make or break a good outcome. And the role of that ERISA attorney, we generally involve them to review vendor agreements, plan documents, things like that, to make sure the company is in a good position, that the plan is being administered against what the documents are stating. And then in addition to that, there are times where plan failures occur. It's not always a question of if, but when. There's a ton of things and moving parts inside of a retirement plan. So when those plan failures do occur, the best thing is identifying them and then fixing it. And so we'll include a qualified ERISA attorney sometimes in the correction process to make sure that it's documented effectively.
That's outstanding. It kind of beat me to my next point, but I'll sort of lead the witness here a little bit and say, who might be able to help a plan sponsor with some of these selections?
Sure. So, you know, a few things. We fill that role as a, you know, when I say that, I'll go back to the term quarterback. As a fiduciary advisor, we also help companies with the selection of their service providers. And, you know, part of that is we see all the service providers are out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've had the opportunity, again, working with 90 plus retirement plans across the country to work with almost every service provider that's out there from a record keeping perspective. And we have a really good sense of what that landscape looks like. So generally speaking, the advisor would help with that process. We often find that when plan sponsors go out looking for a service provider on their own, they're generally always sold a product and they don't actually go out and buy it. It's always a sales process. And plan sponsors have a hard time seeing through the fog of the sales machine that some of these vendors are. So that's the role that we would help them essentially serve and help provide clarity to that process as well.
I think that's a great word, fog, when it comes to trying to understand what it is that's being offered to them. I think engaging the right folks is important. So in terms of evaluating service providers, how much influence do the things like technology, engagement in the government process, how does that influence the decision-making process as you see it for most of your clients at the sponsor level?
Now, it's a huge part, Scott. When we generally go out to, you know, to take a client out to bid for their record-keeping and administrative services, there's a couple of high-level filters that we will look at. And, you know, what we mean by that is we want to make sure that the vendors that we're looking at for those services are open architecture, meaning that they don't have any proprietary fund requirements. For example, we want to make sure that if we were going to look at Fidelity for record keeping, that the client, if they wanted to use all Vanguard mutual funds, they could do that without any recourse or extra fees added. We also want to make sure that the vendor or the record keepers that we would interview would provide fixed head pricing. We talked earlier around why fixed fees are important, and the same thing goes for record keepers. Most record keepers in the past have been compensated through revenue sharing or hidden fees inside of the mutual funds and/or charging asset-based fees. And again, the record keeper's work does not change just because the assets grow. Their work only changes because the participant count increases. So those are the two main things. We want to make sure they're willing to bid open architecture and they're willing to bid fixed per head per participant pricing. As we go through that, we generally prepare an RFP that would get sent out that lists anywhere from 30 to 60 questions, sometimes more depending on the complexity of the plan. And we ask all the vendors to participate in that and fill that out completely. Typically, what we'll do is we'll go out and get responses and pricing from 5 to 7 different vendors, depending on the plan space. In the retirement plan market, typically around $20 million is when you start to get into the institutional type providers. So Vanguard Direct, Fidelity Large Market, et cetera. And then sub $20 million is where you would use more of the smaller market vendors and some of those that span both the small and large markets. So firms like ADP, Vanguard Ascensus, et cetera. But we would start there, get the pricing, start reviewing the RFPs, and make sure that first and foremost, they check the box from a perspective of having a low number of clients per relationship manager. That ultimately drives how effective the relationship is going to be with the provider. But you had mentioned things like technology and engagement, governance processes. And that's where, you know, especially around technology, we've seen a huge kind of growth spurt in the industry as technology has evolved over the last 3 to 5 years. What we're seeing now is the most successful record keepers that are out there have the ability to engage participants at a level outside of just sending a statement to them. Part of the challenge that we've seen is that participants look at an account balance. They get a statement from a vendor that just says, congrats, you have $100,000 in your account. And to some folks, and you know, it should be $100,000 is a fair amount of money, but understanding how that translates into monthly income and retirement. So we like to look for record keepers that have the ability on their website or their mobile app to show that person, here's what that $100,000 is going to look like if you retire at 65. Here's how much money that's going to provide you on an annualized basis, because we generally all live our lives in that way from a budgeting standpoint. The other thing around technology is things like mobile applications. We've seen, you know, I joke and tell the story that my 91-year-old grandfather has an iPhone that I gave him. Now, he doesn't know that I use that to make sure I can track him so that if he ever gets lost, I know where he is. But 91 years old, uses his iPhone, has his applications on there. So we're seeing most participants have smartphones nowadays. And plan record keepers that have mobile applications and the ability to push information out on a real-time basis to the user is really important. So that's one of the areas that we focus heavily on. The other around engagement kind of goes back to that. If participants aren't engaged with their plan, with their retirement plan, and understanding what the benefits are, we find two things happen. One, they don't save enough. And two, they don't understand the value of the plan that their company is offering them. So the ability, again, for the record keeper to be able to articulate the value of the benefit, what they're getting from a company contribution or profit sharing perspective, and what that equates to in long-term retirement assets is huge. So that's one of the areas that we focus on heavily. The last thing you had asked about was governance. So we want to make sure that the retirement plan provider has the ability to interface well with us as the fiduciary advisor. We generally find that the best relationships, we include the plan relationship manager in most of the meetings. Most of our clients meet 2 to 4 times a year, so we would have the plan record-keeping relationship manager attend at least 2 of those meetings to make sure that there's an open dialogue and that ultimately the governance process is being executed on both sides of the table. And then the other part of that is when the plan gets an audit by their benefit plan auditor, we want to make sure that the provider is able to provide, or the record keeper is able to provide all of the documents, resources that are needed by the auditor, you know, to afford a well-rounded evaluation of the plan.
Wow, this has been great. I really appreciate it. As we move towards the conclusion of today's podcast, Matt, I was wondering if you could share some additional thoughts on this. But when I see Greenspring as a provider within the space of our client base, one of the messages that it sends to me is that this client, this plan sponsor, takes their responsibility to administer this plan very seriously. And that means a lot to me. And it means a lot to me because in addition to being a CPA, one of the hats that I wear is that I'm a trustee on a pension plan for a nonprofit on which I serve. And that's kind of the scariest hat that I wear. I think that being a trustee or a fiduciary on a pension plan or benefit plan is a very serious responsibility. And so it's a relief to me to see that folks take it seriously because it's not always the case. And that immediately creates value to me as the auditor for the organization itself. And from your perspective, what does that mean to you as a consultant in terms of how they perceive their responsibilities? And any last thoughts that you might have on what building a comprehensive team should mean to the plan sponsor?
Yeah, great question, Scott. I will tell you that when I go out to meet with a prospective company and, you know, share the work that we do as a fiduciary advisor, it's just as much of an interview for them to me as it is me interviewing them. And what I'm trying to get out of that initial meeting with the individual, you know, whether it's the CFO or the president or the HR director, is how seriously does this person take serving in a fiduciary capacity? And how seriously does the committee take that role? There have been times where I've met with a prospective plan sponsor that I just knew did not take this seriously. And they just viewed the retirement plan as another benefit that they had to check off the box. And unfortunately, the participants ultimately suffer from that, but we just don't work well with companies that don't take this seriously. And so when we're looking for clients and we interview with clients, generally speaking, we would look for a company that has more of a paternalistic mindset as it relates to governing the plan. We want to make sure that they take the approach that this retirement plan or this benefit plan isn't just here for the participants to use it, and hopefully they do, but they want to be proactive around what can we do as a committee to make sure that we're giving our participants the best chance to retire with dignity, whether that be things like automatic enrollment features, you know, lowering plan costs or paying some of the plan costs as a company, putting in place generous matches and profit sharing, and then also having a strong governance to make sure that plan fees are well thought through and investments are well performing. That's what we're looking for with companies, and we identify that very early on in the conversation. You mentioned building out the team. As I said earlier, great retirement plans, very rarely have I ever seen a good, well-functioning, highly engaged retirement plan that did not have a highly engaged, enthusiastic committee. So I always say that a good retirement plan starts with a great committee, and a great committee starts with a great process. And that process is what we help put in place. But you have to have a good team to do that at the company level. And generally speaking, when we form a committee, we want to have between 3 and 5, and sometimes a few more, individuals that are on the committee. And typically, we want to see some folks from the executive team. So we would want to see maybe the CEO or president, CFO, COO, controller type level, and an HR director. And then if there is somebody that the company can identify that is more of a rank and file employee or two that's comfortable and willing to keep, you know, sensitive information to themselves, we think it's a good thing to have that type of person on the committee because they offer a really good perspective, boots on the ground, kind of ear on the railroad track of how the employees perceive the benefit. So generally, we try to help craft it, again, 3 to 5 employees on the committee, you know, executive exposure, but also rank and file exposure. And we make sure that those committee members are trained. One of the things that we've developed over the last couple of years is a fiduciary training tool called Fiduciary U. That's a web-based platform that we developed in conjunction with our ERISA attorney that essentially provides full fiduciary training to our company's committee members. We want to make sure they're trained, they understand their rules and responsibilities of serving in that fiduciary capacity. And then we put all the documentation in place to essentially ensure that they've acknowledged that. But that team has to be engaged. And so what we do is meet with them several times throughout the year and cover many of the governance things that we spoke about previously in this podcast. But, you know, if you don't have a good team, a good committee, an enthusiastic committee, you're going to often have poor outcomes. So companies need to take that seriously. And again, part of the role that we help with is to fulfill and fill that committee and build that committee out to make sure there's a good team in place.
Matt, one of the reasons that I love working with Greenspring is because you have such a holistic approach to plan administration. But I want to just give you an opportunity to talk about really the organization's holistic approach to the community and what giving back to the community, what role that plays for Greenspring Advisors.
Sure. I'll touch on that, Scott. Thanks. You know, as a firm, since we were founded in 2004, we've made the decision that we give 10% of our gross profits to charity every year. It's a core tenet philosophy of ours that, you know, giving is important and making sure that the community, you know, gets back some of the opportunities that we've had is critical for us. So we do a few things. We do something called a Greenspring grant program every year, and that we put a portion of our total giving each year into a pot that we allow our employees, the partners are excluded from it, to go out and interview some charities and things and organizations in kind of the Baltimore, you know, and Mid-Atlantic area. And we provide the Greenspring grants to these organizations every year, which is always an exciting time for us to meet the faces and see the programs and things that Greenspring has been able to provide funding for. And the staff really enjoy that as well. The other thing that we do is we really like to volunteer as a firm and volunteer as a team. There's just nothing better than getting out and being part of the community to help give back. So we're always looking for new opportunities and ways to give. And I appreciate you asking about that, Scott.
Absolutely, Matt. I appreciate the approach, which is why I feel like it's a valuable part of what Greenspring has to offer the community. Any last thoughts that you'd like our listeners to know about Greenspring Advisors or sponsoring a retirement plan?
You know, Scott, look, it's a, you know, sponsoring a retirement plan and serving in a fiduciary role. You mentioned before that that's one of the hats you wear as a trustee to a plan for a not-for-profit. It can be stressful, but, you know, we like to take the scare out of it and help companies realize that if you have a good process in place, that you're going to have success. You know, the biggest thing is just thinking about the participants. You know, we often take time in committee meetings to think about the little guy, so to speak, and the lowest paid, you know, most uneducated employee that you have. And how can we design this plan to make sure it meets both their needs, but also the highest paid people in the organization? So, you know, I would encourage the listeners to really take a look at what they're doing with their retirement plan. Are they managing it with purpose, or is it just there and running as a ship without a rudder? Because you can really take, you know, a mediocre plan and make it incredible with the right partnership and team in place. And we're always open to having discussions with companies who are interested in, you know, understanding how they're doing. We have some great tools and resources that we use from an analysis perspective. We take a very consultative approach. And generally, with a little bit of time from the plan sponsor's perspective, we can give them both the 30,000 foot view and what I like to call the Google Maps street view of what's working really well, what's working poorly, and the opportunities for improvement.
This is officially a wrap of our two-part podcast series where Scott Rogeville, an officer at Gorfein, Schiller & Garden, spoke with Matt Cellini, a partner and senior financial advisor with Greenspring Advisors, about the value of fiduciary responsibilities, the role of service providers, and more about the GSG Greenspring partnership. And Scott and Matt, thank you both so much for your time today.